And this song is about a man that got saved in Mark chapter 5. And then somebody mentioned it in Mark 4, the disciples coming across on that, where that storm came. And in chapter 5, immediately when they came to shore, they met a man out of the tombs that had the unclean spirit. Amen. I'm glad he got saved. Amen. From the tomb I could see midst the lightning and thunder, a tiny ship about to go under. And I laughed as they tried in vain, rough waters to board. But something happened then I'll never forget, and I still don't quite understand.
He'll carry us when we can't carry. me on. Raised in His power, the weak become strong. His strength is perfect. His strength is perfect. We can only know the power that He holds when we truly see how deep our weakness goes. His strength in us begins when ours comes to an end. He hears our humble cry and proves again. His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He'll carry us when we can't carry on. Raised in His power, the weak become strong. His strength is perfect. His strength is perfect.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right. Our verse, we'll turn to that. Just look at it again, Luke 22. I just want to say to you men that I appreciate the opportunity to be here. I know preacher invited me, but you have made me very welcome.
Praise God.
And probably some of the things I'll talk about will help you understand. I think you already do, but I don't normally look forward to being around a bunch of strange preachers. I don't. You know, they're always, you know, measuring you up and picking you and finding out who you are and what camp you're in, all this other stuff. And so I appreciate your kindness. Amen. And I was preaching in South Africa, and used to be Maputo, Tswana, a town called Mafeking. But preached for one missionary there, and there's another missionary in the same town that our church supported. I was there 5 years, five different meetings in 5 years, and the other guy never came to the meeting.
Yeah.
Never came to the meeting. I mean, independent, fundamental, King James, all, never came to the meeting. The first meeting I was there, I came home, told my pastor about it. He said, "We're dropping that guy." He said, "If I send my bangs to South Africa and he preaches and the guy won't even come across down to hearing," he said, "we're not supporting him." Amen. Amen. But anyway, I appreciate you, your kindness and putting up with me, and I appreciate it and thank the Lord for it. Luke chapter 22:31. The Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan had desired to have you." And he desires to have all of us.
Yes, sir.
We didn't make him real happy when we got saved. I mean, we deserved it. We defected. We chose another father. And then especially if you begin to bear fruit and try to win others, you're encouraging other people to defect. You've made him mad, and he desires to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, and I do like that part.
Yes.
I'm glad we have somebody that's interceding for us. That thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen our brethren. A converter. I used to have a motor home and had a converter and inverter. But a converter changes a power source to another source of power, another kind type of power. Peter had a lot of power.
That's right.
But it wasn't the power that God could use.
That's right.
Of course, I don't know what kind of electricity you have here as far as the voltages. I know in the States you got 220, 110, but some churches I've gone to, they have 440. And my first experience with that, of course, I always plugged into the box. There was never enough amperes to keep heaters going and air conditioners going, so I always had alligator clips and I clicked into the box. And I clipped in the 440 once. It burned everything up in the bus. I had to replace refrigerator, microwave, everything. Had to replace it all. Now, I needed that power, but it had to be in a different form. And I'm afraid a lot of times we use our power and it hurts people. Because it's not in the right form. It needs to be converted. And Peter's power needed to be converted to where he could be used. And once God converted that power to something he could use, then he could strengthen the brethren. Just some verses here. Psalm 119:28 says, "My soul melteth for heaviness." There's some people that have heavy souls.
Yes, sir.
"Strengthen thou me according unto thy word."
Hallelujah.
I got to thinking yesterday, and I'm glad you young preachers didn't do what a lot of young preachers do. It's easy to rip on people.
Amen. Yes. Yep.
And that's a fault of young preachers, but I've been around old preachers that all have better sense. They just take great pleasure in ripping people. People are already ripped.
That's right. That's right.
They need some mentoring. Amen. They need some help. I know preaching on the street, I've been around young preachers, they just call them every name in the book. They already know their name. They know their sinners. I mean, they're a mess. I mean, we ought to have some good news for them on the street.
Amen.
I got a friend that, I used to work with Brother Alan Jones, just a great preacher, great mentor. And after I left the church there, another young man came in and just had a rough background, got saved, and called to preach. And so Mondays, Brother Jones would meet with the staff and ask him how it went over the weekend. Well, this particular weekend, this evangelist had preached out of town, preached in the church. And he said, "Jack, how'd it go at the church where he preached?" He said, "Oh, it was good." He said, "I skinned him." He said, "Oh?" He said, "Yeah, it was good. I skinned him." And Brother Jones says, "Well, what did you do with him after you skinned him?" He said, "Preacher, I guess I just left him skinned." You know, you can only skin sheep once.
Yeah.
You can shear them a lot of times, but you only skin them once. Amen. And so, amen. We need to strengthen the brethren. Amen. Isaiah 35 verse 3 says, "Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees." Look in 1 Peter chapter 5. I'm going to be all over the place. I've got so many things going through my mind. And I didn't know if I'd take 10 minutes or 10 hours. You know, I don't know. It's just according to how it works out. I wanted to stay with a theme about how Peter strengthened the brethren. But on the other hand, I want to strengthen the brethren. And so we'll just see how God directs us. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. The God of all grace. And again, I had a young man get saved in one of my meetings. He was a professional golfer, and he got around a crowd that just were very abrasive. But he called me his dad in the ministry, you know, his dad in the Lord, you know, and he'd call me every once in a while. He'd tell me what was going on. He liked preaching on the street. He was very bold. I mean, he never met a stranger. Very bold for the Lord, which God can use boldness, but the power that this guy had was needed to be converted. Amen. And he was talking about what he called some people on the street, and he got thrown in jail because of it. And I said, you shouldn't have done that. He said, but it was the truth. I was speaking the truth. I said, the Bible says speaking the truth in love.
Yes, sir.
He said, oh, does it say that? and another time, he was talking about something he said. And I said, Howie, you shouldn't. He said, yeah, but we're the salt of the earth. Must be salty. I said, let your speech be with grace, seasoned with salt. Amen. Just a tad of salt. You know, we don't have to be that salty. Amen.
Yeah.
But a lot of times we especially, you know, men, and God's called men to preach.
Thank God.
But we want to, you know, we, and God needs to convert that stuff. God needs to convert it to a power that He can use to help people, not to hurt people, not to discourage people. I looked these things up especially where it says, "When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." One writer said to make use of the bitter experience for the fortifying of thy tempted brethren. Make use of the bitter experience. And again, the trials that try us can make you bitter or better.
That's right.
And it's up to you. It really is. It's up to you. But if you'll understand, even if it's from the devil, being saved, God's going to, you know, amen, I hate that. But God's going to use it. You know, wheat's no good unless it's sifted. Wheat's no good. I mean, Uncle Ben's converted rice. Amen. That's what it's called. The form that you get off of salt is not usable. I mean, it has to be converted. It has to be saved. Amen. And so, I mean, here the God is up there. He's looking at us, and he says, "Boy, I wish I could use it, but he needs to be in a position. You know, it needs to be converted, or I can't use that power." And so Satan comes off of it. You can take it like that, or you can say, "Oh boy, I just these trials, and I'm telling you what, I'm going to quit the ministry, I'm going to quit God." You can do that too, but I mean, just go ahead and like that, and say, "Amen, praise the Lord. Maybe God can use me now." One writer said, "When overtaken by these trials and things, we should use our own experience to warn others." And that's just what Peter did in 1 Peter and 2 Peter. Amen. Look in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Just some things Peter wrote. It just amazed me. When you read 1 and 2 Peter, it don't seem like the same Peter in the Gospels. It's not the same Peter in the Gospels. He's converted. Amen. Verse 19, chapter 2, verse 19. "For this is thankworthy.
Amen.
If a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults that you take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable to God. For even hereunto were ye called." Oh boy, I hate that calling. "Because Christ also suffered for us." Now see, this is the thing that Peter said, "Not so, Lord." Now he sees it.
Amen.
Now he sees it. Now it's okay that Jesus did it for him now. And now it's okay for Peter to go through it. Amen. And he's encouraging the others. He said, it's okay. It's all right. Don't say not so. And as a matter of fact, it's a strange thing when I first saw it. Not so, Lord.
How can you say not so when they call him Lord?
Yeah. Amen. We don't want that. But anyway, it says he suffered for us, leaving us an example. That we should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committing himself to him that judged righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live in the righteousness by whose stripes you were healed. Now listen, this whole passage, as a matter of fact, is talking about Jesus doing this, but he said we ought to follow his steps.
Right.
Which involves suffering for other people.
There you go.
Suffering for other people. Look in 3:17. 3:17. Talked a lot about it. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, amen, but quickened in the spirit. Look in 4:12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice! He wasn't rejoicing warming his hands by that fire.
Oh boy.
Amen. But now he can see it. Inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory should be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye.
Yeah.
For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you.
Yes.
On their part he's evil spoken of, and on your part he is glorified.
Right.
Look in 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5. The end of that psalm talks about not just sin, but pride. 1 Peter 5. Verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder.
Yeah.
Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. It's hard not to be proud when you're a Baptist, when you're King James, Bible believer, right doctrine, right standards. Amen.
Yes.
You get cocky about it.
That's yes, right.
I mean, we're right.
That's right.
Amen. I don't know who I was talking to the other day, just yesterday, about revival. Us Baptists have never had one. There's no history of a Baptist revival. I'm talking about a sweeping. There's never been one. Now we've stopped some. Oh yeah, we have. We try to straighten their doctrine out. We try to straighten stuff out and stop revivals. But we've never had a history of a revival among Baptists. And I can tell you why. If my people would have called on my name, shall call on me. It makes us mad when we find out somebody else is getting somebody saved. Get quiet there, amen.
Yeah,
that's your
pride.
You think we're the only ones. Amen. We're going to get to heaven and find out there's some people that didn't have a name Baptist. I mean, they didn't know what a Baptist was. They just had a Bible, amen. John the Baptist. Come on. It's getting quiet. That's fine. That's fine. I'm a Baptist.
Amen.
And but I'll say it, and I've heard people preach against it, but I'm preaching now. Amen. Baptist is an adjective, not a noun, to me. It describes what I believe.
There you go.
God you are.
Amen.
Amen.
It's fun now. Amen. God resisted the proud.
Amen.
God will take the Christian who has lower standards than us.
Yeah.
Through humbling himself.
All the time, Lord.
He'll use them when you.
That's right.
Your high standards
and
dressing right and doing right.
Amen.
God will use an NIV user.
That's right.
Who humbles himself.
That's
right. Rather than one who's a King James Bible reader and so cocky and proud of.
There you go, brother.
Just go ahead and look at me. Amen. Just look spare me now.
Amen.
Go ahead and
amen.
God resisted the proud.
Amen.
Not only is God not going to use you if you're proud, he is against you.
Yes.
I hate to be a King James Bible believing Baptist right standards and everything, and God be against me. Because
yes.
I think it's right to be right.
Amen.
I think God wants us to be right. And you know, you might have had a problem with me saying I'm an active Baptist, not an now Baptist, but heart. They weren't Baptists. They're not going to be in the bride. Amen. Pride.
Yeah.
God won't, not only will God not use you, he's against you.
That's right.
He's against you. If you're proud. Peter had a problem with that until he got converted.
Amen.
I hate it when God uses people that don't have the standards I do. I've heard this used humility is not thinking low of yourself. It's just not thinking of yourself. And that's what it is, because some people are proud of you. Hey man, they I'm the lowest of the low, I'm the scum of the earth. They pray that. Oh God, I'm just a scumbag, I'm just a nobody. You go ahead and call them that and see if they agree. They don't believe that.
Amen.
They pray it, but they don't believe it. Hey, man, just go, you're a scumbag in the Lord. So, humility is not thinking more of yourself. Humility is just not thinking about
yourself.
Now, if that be so, and I think it is, pride is not necessarily thinking highly of yourself. It's just thinking of yourself all the time.
Yes.
Everything involves you. Everything revolves around you. And I think it was Copernicus that finally found out, hey, the sun don't revolve around us, we revolve around the sun.
Yeah.
He finally found that out. We just think the sun revolves around us. It doesn't. And Job, I told the church this, that you didn't know better. You think all this stuff is about you.
Mm-hmm.
Let's read the book of Job and tell me what was about Job.
Yeah.
Chapter 1, chapter 2, God and the devil get in a fight, and Job just happens to be in the middle.
That's right.
It wasn't about Job at all.
Yeah, right.
It was a contest between God and the devil. And Job was down there minding his own business. He wasn't challenging God, he wasn't challenging the devil.
Yeah, come on.
He was down there minding his own business, and God and the devil got in a fight about it, and Job just happened to be right smack in the middle of it. And you got 40 chapters of hell on earth.
Yeah.
Had nothing to do with Job. Job didn't bring that on himself. Just something went on up there, and he just happened to be in the middle of it. I'm just telling you, it's not about us. It's not about us. I mean, it's not. Boy, Peter thought it was about him. I mean, we're going to set up a kingdom here. It wasn't about him. humble yourselves, verse 6, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because, what's that next word?
Your
adversary. That's a personal pronoun. But guys, young Jeremy, he may not be excited about that, but he's already taking on with you. You might as well say he's an enemy. Might as well be against him. Might as well not be ignorant of his devices. Study it out, see how he works, and fight him. Be ready to fight him. Be ready to do warfare with him. Hey, young fellows, young men, in 1 John, it talks about the fathers. He recommends the fathers because of this. But he says, you young men, I commend you because you have overcome the wickedness.
Amen.
Fellas, he don't have to overcome you.
That's right.
He can overcome you.
Amen.
Does that ever give you a hard day? Hard time? Ever give you a hard time?
Yes.
You understand? You understand? You understand that you can give him a hard time?
Yes.
Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You don't have to be overcome by the devil. You can overcome the devil. He don't have to whip you all the time. You can whip him.
Amen.
I just get tired of hearing about young people getting overcome when they can overcome.
Yes.
They can overcome. You can give Satan a hard day. Give him a hard time. Amen. I'm for it. Amen. Praise the Lord. And it was a young man.
Yeah. Amen.
It was a young man that did it. Amen. And young men, I love it in the Bible where it talks about young men, the things they did.
Praise God.
I mean, God uses young men when he won't use old. And I'm not rebuking other people for saying you're the next generation. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying you're the generation right now. You can serve God right now.
Yeah.
You want to turn it on to serve God. God said, you young men have overcome the wicked one. We need young men.
Amen.
We don't need you when you graduate. We don't want to put you out of college to serve God. We need you right now. You guys crank me up. I mean, you get me stirred up. Young men. I mean, there's some things young men will do that old us old geezers, I mean, we're beyond it. And young men will do it.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hey, I'm off this message, ain't I? They met together one time and brought, each of them brought 10 young men with them.
Yeah.
And then Joab said, let the young men play.
Woo-hoo!
Let the young men play. They killed each other.
Yeah.
They killed each other.
I like it, man.
And the young men, I like young men. God uses young men.
Yeah.
Just make sure you convert them. Make sure that.
Yeah.
Acts chapter 5, Ananias comes in and says he sold a certain part and he's going to give him all that money. And Peter said, you've lied to the Holy Ghost! And boom! That's the only swing in the spirit I've ever seen in the Bible. Now, I'm sure if it'd been us older fellows and Peter done that, we'd say, well, you know, our pastor never did it like that. Critiquing it, and you know, all the guys are dragging and I like it, you know what?
Hey, that's cool.
Couple hours later, Ms. Ananias comes in, Sapphira comes in, same thing happens, the young men they hear. Amen. Praise the Lord. I just strengthen the brethren. I got some of the stuff written down here. Let me say this. I'm talking to you missionaries now and your pastors. Strengthen the brethren. Don't use people to build the church.
Amen.
Use the church to build
the
church.
Amen.
kingdom building.
Amen.
About the people building.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Listen. People hurt. Strangers can't hurt me. They can say anything you want to. They can't hurt me. But people that I love can hurt me.
Yes.
But the ministry is people.
It's
not
God.
Now, I've heard preachers, you know, they're kidding me, said it, you know, I love the ministry, one for people. But that is the ministry.
That's right. That's right.
That is the ministry.
That's right.
Strengthen the brethren.
Amen.
I know what you want some perfect people. But you can use to build a church.
Come on.
If you got perfect people, you just lost your job.
That's right.
What do they need for?
That's right.
Amen. Try it. People are hurt. Let me help you with this. As long as you get your messages, God gives you messages, but as long as you direct your message to hurting people, you never want a place to preach.
Straight.
You'll always have a place to preach. You preach messages to help people that are hurt.
Amen.
Help people that are hurt. Yeah. Preachers are hurt.
Yes, sir.
Preachers are hurt. Don't you be so proud you can call a brother across across the aisle and say, hey, this is between here. And you be where they know it's just between you.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. You keep your mouth shut.
Amen.
Well, I just can't believe he can be called a preacher to be going through this thing. If things aren't working in your town,
it won't hurt you to call some of the men that have been here a while, and say, I'm a great ball. I know you know how to do it. You've been a Bible college. You know how to be in the church. You got a book. But you're a novice. You know how many old guys around here.
Very transparent.
I'll
just let you know, hey man,
Well, I can't listen to him. I mean, I saw him do this. I heard him say that. What did your dad have a bunch of youth around? Hey, man, what did your dad? I can't wait.
Yeah.
I couldn't wait for my kids to get married and have kids. I couldn't wait. Good for them. I just wish they'd have seven of my kids. And it didn't work much patience either. Just be real.
Amen.
Be real. I mean, be real. There was only a couple of guys in the Bible that God didn't record their sins, and they were talking to Christ.
Yeah, that's right.
All the rest of them, David. Turn to 1 Chronicles. I don't know what we're doing here. We got to clean up. But I'm going to preach my 5-minute message. I got so much stuff down here. 1 Chronicles, I think it's 29, somewhere around there. Verse 4, chapter 28. Howbeit the Lord God of Israel chose me before all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever. I won't get into that. But a mortal man can't do something forever. David's going to be on the throne again. Amen. For he hath chosen Judah to be the ruler. And of the house of Judah, the house of my father, and among the sons of my father, look at those next three words. He liked me.
Yes.
To make me king over all Israel. I love everybody, but I don't like everybody. God loves everybody.
Amen.
Just a few things why I think he liked David. Number one, this is my 5-minute message. I was ready. Who was over here? That's scared, amen. When he called the first guy up last night, I thought, he's just calling anybody. I mean, he called you, didn't he?
Uh-huh.
This guy, I mean, so I was
David goes up just to bring milk and cheeses and stuff to his brothers. Goliath's there. David says, hey, is there not a cause he's going to die? And Saul put his arm on. You know what, guy, I wouldn't love to have. David said, I think this is not.
Hallelujah.
That's good.
Yep.
That's good.
You know, you'll see it. You'll hear somebody preach, or you'll, oh, wow, that just be somebody beat you to the other thing.
He was content being David. He was courageous in life's trials. I mean, when he said, you know, I'll fight this giant. They said, you're but a youth. He said, well, yeah, but I used to watch sheep. And a lion came in. And I grabbed him by the beard. David take care of him first, then I'll touch him. He never did anything half-heartedly. God helped this crowd. Hey, young man, call me too. Just a half-hearted, nonchalant serving the Lord. I don't like anything half-hearted.
Amen.
I'm too old to be doing what we did yesterday on the beach. But I was getting upset at some of the people that weren't playing defense. I mean, because they wouldn't run all the way down there. And then when I played, man, some people apologize. Oh, I'm sorry. Hey, we're playing. David liked God. There's some of us that love God.
We don't like it. Testify, brother. Amen.
I like my wife. I love her. Amen. I like her. She had on some kind of fruit lipstick last night.
Good night.
I like her. She's doing
seen this CD. I love Brother Jack. The title of the message was, I ain't changing. But one thing you talked about, he said, praising the Lord and worshiping God. He said, people want the preacher to be somewhat demonstrative and loud. But they don't want the people. He said, I ain't changing.
Amen.
The Stinky Carriage Rats, they stole that from us.
That's right. Yes.
That's right. They stole that from us.
Yes, right. Yes, sir.
Come on, Bridget. We don't have time.
Go on.
I'm a Bible
believer. Yes. Amen. Amen.
The Bible says do something, I'm going to do it for
Aaron. Yes.
If the Bible says lifting up holy hands, I think it's okay to lift
up.
I think it's okay for your people to lift up.
That's right. Amen.
I think if the Bible says, for Psalm 47:1, clap your hands.
Oh,
welcome to God with a voice of tongue. I think it's hard to clap your hands and shout.
Amen.
Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I look that word rejoice up in the old 1828 dictionary. It said to shout or to leap or play or sport.
Amen.
Now, at the rugby field and the soccer field,
yes.
I mean, they know how to rejoice.
Yes.
Yeah. They know how to do it. You know, in the States, I say, well, up north, we're reserved up here. Here's the river! Amen! And Brother Galt said,
wasn't that great.
Come on!
From God, no. They're just very docile. But some of them... Lord, help us all to learn to strengthen the brethren. Help us all to live a life that's for other people. Lord, I'm afraid this Peter's kingdom ideas went out the window and just it started turning towards people. And Lord, I pray you'd help preachers, these young men, lay persons, Lord, to realize that the rest of our life ought to be spent on people. Strengthening the brethren. God, I thank you for this few days we've had. Pray you help us to go home with something that we didn't come here with. That will help us be a blessing to our wives, to our children, our churches. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Just a moment, I want to ask you to do something. Nobody looking around. It is impossible that God didn't speak to you this weekend. It is impossible that you didn't hear. Close your eyes now. Nobody looking around. Just listen. It's impossible for you to have come here and not be absolutely rattled. And it probably is about something you didn't plan on happening. And right now I'm asking you that if God dealt with you about something, I don't care if it's something small, about some area of pride in your life that needs to be conquered, and it always going to be conquered by humiliating yourself before somebody you've hurt, before somebody that you have not come under and surrendered to, somebody that you have said and done things that you didn't think mattered, and now you know it does. It may be something as big as answering God's call to preach. It may be something where you just want to just acknowledge that God got you, and that if the devil rattles and shakes and throws you around, all you're going to do is look up and say, God, get it over quick, just change me. But if God worked on your heart, I'm going to ask you to come up and kneel around this pulpit and make this into an altar here this morning.
And we're going to pray in just a minute. If God got a hold of your heart, just come around here and we're going to pray. If you sit there, it's your business, but some of us are going to meet up here and we're going to pray. Why don't you tell God, God, thank you for letting the devil really, really get a hold of me over this past year. And he has shaped and shook and hurt. God, I let him have all my attention. I want my attention on you. I want to start to just worship and glorify and honor the one that's in control of my life. I gave you the control of my life. I'm going to leave it at that. Whatever happens in my life, I don't want it to stop me. I want it to excite me. And in this quiet time, why don't you just talk to God and commit to him that you're going to strengthen other brethren. You're not going to be a tearer down anymore. You're not going to gossip. You're going to use that mouth of yours to spread things that are going to hurt other people. You're going to look at your preacher and tell them, I love you. You're going to look at your wife, your dad, your mom, tell them, I love you and I've been wrong. But I want to be a strength. And this time, why don't you make that commitment? Thanks for the good words we've heard. Thank you for knocking us down onto our knees and stripping us down. And thank you for being all wise and knowing what we needed this weekend. Lord, oh God, please, you know it's not. This is just the hem of the garment. It's not just what we need. It's what our wives need. It's not that they need to be humble. They need a humble husband. It's not what our churches need. It's not what they need to do. It's they need humble pastors. Broken and changed men. Broken and changed teenagers. Broken and changed young people. God, our world is going to hell. We've got something that is strong. And we need to be about strengthening each other, God. Don't let Ireland go to hell, please. Don't let us forget why we're here and why you saved us. Don't let our churches be the same. Lord, thank you for what you've done in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you want to just stay, we'll just stay quiet. Nobody looking around. Quietly make our way back.